Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, May 4th. Now, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but for those of you who are, may the 4th be with you. I'm reading from the New International Version. We're picking up in Exodus in chapter 30, verses 1 through 16, and this is a section about the altar of incense. As we read this section together, I want you to think about the correlation between incense and prayers. The altar of incense was used morning and evening, and the incense went up before the Lord. And this is a representation of the prayers of the people that hopefully we are perpetually praying, and this is coming before the Lord as incense. If we look to Psalm 141 and verse 2, this is what I'm talking about. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. And then in Revelation, there's another passage in chapter 8 in verse 3 and 4 that talks about the prayers being like incense, and the prayers and the incense going up together before the throne of God. Okay, let's read Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 16. Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. It is to be square, a cubit long and a cubit wide, and 2 cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it. Overlay the top and all the sides and the horns with pure gold, and make a gold molding around it. Make 2 gold rings for the altar below the molding, 2 on each of the opposite sides, to hold the poles used to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the altar in front of the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant Law, before the atonement cover that is over the tablets of the covenant law, where I will meet with you. Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamps. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight. So incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. Do not offer on this altar any other incense or any burnt offerings or grain offerings, and do not pour a drink offering on it. Once a year, Aaron shall make atonement on its horns. This annual atonement must be made with the blood of the atoning sin offering for the generations to come. It is most holy to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, when you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. Then no plague will come on them when you number them. Each one who crosses over to those already counted is to give a half shekel, according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. This half shekel is an offering to the Lord. All who cross over, those 20 years old or more, are to give an offering to the Lord. The rich are not to give more than half a shekel, and the poor are not to give less when you make the offering to the Lord to atone for your lives. Receive the atonement money for the Israelites and use it for the service of the tent of meeting. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement for your lives. Before we move on, I just want to comment a little bit on this passage. First, the idea of the altar of incense is different than the altar of burnt offerings. This is an altar where only incense is offered, except for once a year. It seems like, according to verse 10, that Aaron will make atonement on the Day of Atonement with some kind of sacrifice on its horns. We'll get there when we get to Leviticus, I believe. But also, I wanted to make note that they're very specific here on what can be offered on this altar. Let me see. Verse 9, do not offer on this altar any other incense or other burnt offerings or grain offerings, and do not pour a drink offering on it. Now, this was made mention because in Leviticus chapter 10, we're going to get to Nadab and Abihu, and they put strange fire of some sort with the incense, and it's really bad for them. I don't know if you know what happens to them, but it's not good. And then we read on about the atonement money. I got to be honest, I have never paid attention to this passage before, but this is kind of like a census tax, but it is referred to as a ransom. Listen to verse 16 again. Receive the atonement money for the Israelites and use it for the service of the tent of meeting. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement or ransom for your lives. The interesting thing to me is that it was the same price for every person. It was a half shekel, which I read is like $5 according to 2020 terms. But anyway, the idea of the ransom being the same for each person kind of helped me to see that our atonement is not, we can't pay for our own atonement. We can't, if we have more money, we can't buy the grace of God. Rather, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we are ransomed. Not because of what we can give, but because of what he gave. And it reminded me of Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, and this is what it says. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your gift to us. Let's continue on now with Psalm 127. A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. We're going to move over to 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16, but somehow I think that this psalm and this New Testament passage pair well together. The idea in Psalm 127 of the fact that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain, that God is ultimately the one who gives favor and productivity, and then the idea that the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians is that which we have through the Spirit, that we're revealed the mind of Christ. And so we just want to read these passages together and ask the Lord to continue to help us be dependent upon him and continual in prayer and supplication to him, and also to remember the gift that is his guidance by his Spirit. Starting in verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. What an encouragement and kind of a challenge that these verses give to us. First, that prayer is like incense and it rises to the Lord. This is our duty as believers to pray, and it's also our privilege. And so, Lord, we pray for more faithfulness in this area, that you would help us to be dependent upon you, and that we would recognize by your Spirit, through the mind of Christ, that you are working in our midst, and we just need to be aware of it and also listening for your leadership through your Spirit. We also want to acknowledge, Lord, that unless you build the house, the laborers build in vain. So help us, Lord, to have a good balance between striving and resting in the knowledge that you are at work. We pray, God, that you would remind us of your sovereignty, of your attentiveness to us, of the nature of your mercy and your love for us. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity we have to read your word. Continue to use it for your glory in our lives, and help us to be conduits of your grace and your love today. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our friend. Amen.